You're listening to a podcast from Life Church Southampton. To find out more about the church or to explore other resources, visit lifesouthampton.org.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and welcome to Guess What's in the Box? We run the music, guys. Here we go. Let's make some music. There we go.
Guess what's in the box? Do you know? Have a go. Guess what's in the box?
Yeah. I love it. Your reaction is so much better than I anticipated. I have a box here, and there's an item inside, and the game is simple. You got it. Guess what's in the box, right? And I have 9 clues for you this morning, okay? The first clue is actually the box itself. So have a good, hard look at the box. The box is a clue to what's inside of it. The second clue is that it's something you can wear. Ooh, interesting. And then there are 5 other clues dotted around the room. Have a little look around, on the walls particularly, around you. There are 5 other clues, envelopes. They have big word clue written on it just to give it away. Now, I would like, when I count down from 3, for someone who's near one of those envelopes to grab it, to bring it down to the front, to be ready to read it out for everybody. Off you go. 3, 2, 1. Oh, Abel's here already. Here we go. Right. We'll wait for everyone to get here, Abel. Enjoy the tune. We've got another one. Come and stand over here on my right. Any others? There should be 5.
Guess what's in the box? Do you know? Have a go. Guess what's in the box?
Great, we have all 5 coming now. Brilliant. Right, I'll pass you the microphone, which is unmuted, it's the yellow one, sound team, just so you know. And if you could read out what's on your piece of paper, that'll be fantastic. So Abel, can you take that for me? Thank you. Here we go, first clue.
The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you.
Amazing. Thank you, Abel. I'll take your... You pass that along. Perfect. Thank you. Okay, that's the first clue from Genesis, the Lord speaking to Abraham. What's next, Matt? Okay.
This is what Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it.
Fantastic. Thank you. Next one.
I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession.
Fantastic. That was from the Psalms. Next one.
Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.
Great. And the last one.
I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of the sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd.
Amazing. Thank you, guys. Let's give them a round of applause for coming up and sharing. Thank you. I can take the clues. Amazing. Guess what's in the box? Boom. Right. Sorry. Clearly, I like that song. Then the 8th clue is actually the Bible passage from last week. So if you're around last Sunday, the one Si spoke from, that is our 8th clue. And the 9th clue is the Bible passage for today. Okay, so I'm gonna read that to us. We're in Ephesians 3 today. So turn your Bibles there to Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to read from verse 1 to 13. This is the final clue for guess what's in the box. Okay, this is what it says. Ephesians 3, 1 to 13. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have briefly written. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he realized in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I'm suffering for you, which is your glory. So, any ideas what the item might be in the box? I have to admit, it is a tricky one. I haven't made this easy at all for you. And I will reveal the answer in time. Okay, I'm going to leave you waiting a little bit longer, hanging on the edge of your seat, as I can see clearly you all are. And we're going to just look a little bit at Ephesians 3 before I reveal to you what's inside the box. So let's have a look at this. So Paul begins, right, at the start of the chapter, he begins to make a point, okay? And then he sort of gets sidetracked and he goes off on a tangent. So do you see it? He says at the start, for this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles. And then he starts talking about some stuff, which I've summarized with three M's: mystery revealed, manifold wisdom, and missional people. And then he comes back at verse 14 and sort of finishes off what he began saying back at verse 1. Okay, you can see the similarity in the phrasing there. And so what we're going to do this morning is we're going to take a closer look at this tangent, this sort of little sort of detour that Paul goes on in this passage, because clearly Paul thought it was necessary to say this stuff that he says. And so arguably it's valuable for us and important for us to consider what he's saying and to hear it for ourselves today as well. So three M's is how I've summarized what he talks about here. So the first M is this: mystery revealed. So Paul tells his readers that there is a mystery that God has revealed. The word mystery in the original Greek is the word mysterion, which has a slightly different meaning to the English word of mystery. So the English word often means something like dark or obscure, maybe puzzling or confusing or incomprehensible. But mysterion is slightly different because what that means is it's a truth that was once hidden or not clear, that has now been made clear and is really visible. Okay? A bit like what's going on in this box, okay? But what is this truth? What is this thing that God has revealed and made clear? Well, those Bible passages that were read out just earlier as clues, they were quite literally actually clues that God has peppered throughout history and in the teaching of Jesus. A number of those things were things that Jesus said. And some of them were from Genesis, Isaiah, the Psalms, okay? These things were clues that are peppered throughout history and the teachings of Jesus. And I wonder whether you spotted even the thread through those five clues that are read out. So as we track the biblical narrative beyond those five clues, even into the book of Acts, what we see is this mystery, this hidden but to be revealed truth is revealed. It's made crystal clear. And we read about it in Ephesians 2 from last week. And we read about it here in this passage in chapter 3. And it's this. This is the mystery revealed. God is creating in Christ a new society, a new people called the church. And the church is not just made up of Jewish Christians, but Gentile Christians as well. So a Gentile is a non-Jewish person, which basically means anyone who's not a Jew, which is a lot of people. And so God's eternal plan, his eternal purpose and intention is to adopt people from all nations into his family. People from all nations. And he does this through Jesus and Jesus alone. And so this is the mystery that God has revealed. It's like God has gone, hey guys, come closer, come closer. I want to let you in on something. This is what I'm doing. Do you see it? It's like God is doing that for us. And I suspect that most of us in this room today, if not all of us actually, are probably Gentiles, I'd say. And that's a really normal thing, actually, for a lot of churches nowadays across the world. And I think that for many of us, including myself, we can read a passage like the one we've read today, and we can be like, well, duh. Of course, Gentiles are included in Christ. Of course, that's the case. There's nothing profound about that at all. But that's the thing, for Paul's readers and the early Christians, this actually wasn't a duh moment at all. Actually, it was hugely profound. It was not the norm. It was not expected. It was not obvious to them. It was actually a truth that many Jewish people, and particularly Jewish Christians, found incredibly hard, actually, to come to terms with at the time. It was such a big deal. So much so that Paul was even in prison for it, right? He says, doesn't he, in this passage, that he says that he's suffering in this way because he's been preaching to the Gentiles this all-in good news. He suffered because God wanted to draw all people to himself from all nations into his family. That's why Paul was suffering. It's a big deal. And for many of us today, I think, well, I wonder whether this has become for many of us such a norm, which actually is a really great thing that it's become a normal thing. But I wonder whether the familiarity that we have with this kind of thing actually dilutes thanksgiving in our hearts. Maybe just take a moment just to assess for your heart yourself right now, especially if you are a Gentile Christian. How much has this familiarity that, well, of course this is the case, how much has that maybe reduced gratitude in you? It certainly has for me. Like, hear this. God wants you. God wants you. And there's life and transformation for you. And at one time, that wasn't revealed. That wasn't made known, but now it has been. And hear this right now. If you are maybe not adopted into God's family and you're a Gentile, there's good news for you. You're invited. You're invited. The door is open. God wants you. And this life and transformation is there for you as well. This is really good news. Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much that you have chosen people like us who were once far off, but now you've brought us near through Jesus. Lord, I confess that so often I'm not grateful like I maybe should be or could be when it comes to my salvation and my inclusion. Oh, Holy Spirit, help me, help me. Like, tenderize my spirit, my heart, to be sensitive to the incredible reality that I am in Christ, that you want me. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the next M, manifold wisdom. Now, this is the moment you've been waiting for, okay? I can tell. I hear the whispering. I can see you. Some of you are falling off your front of your seats. This is the moment you've been waiting for, the big reveal. What is in the box? And I wonder whether you've got it. Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Ooh. And I did actually hear a genuine ooh from out there. This is what has been... Oh, I didn't think this through with my microphone. You know what? I'm just going to wrap it around me like this. Here it is. A multicolored cloak or scarf now. Ooh, I bet you didn't expect that. Some of you might be thinking to yourself, really? Really? That's what the item was? And if that's you, interestingly enough, your reaction is probably not too dissimilar to the reaction that many Jewish people and early Jewish Christians would have had to the big reveal that God includes Gentiles in Christ as well. This is the big reveal. This is the item in the box, a multicolored cloak. Now, this is the point, okay? Paul says from verse 8, have a look at verse 8 with me. He says, to me, though I'm the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. So Paul says that this hidden but now revealed truth is Jesus's church, made up of people from all nations, and this church shows off the manifold wisdom of God. So John Stott, who we've heard about a little bit this series so far, he's helping us out a little bit. John Stott says that the word manifold means many-colored and was used to describe flowers, crowns, embroidered cloth, and woven carpets, a bit like Joseph's technicolored dream coat. Okay, hence the inspiration for the item in the box. Paul is describing this new people. He is describing the church, and he says that it's a multicolored display of God's multicolored wisdom. John Stott goes on to say, the church as a multiracial, multicultural community is like a beautiful tapestry. Its members come from a wide range of colorful backgrounds. No other human community resembles it. Its diversity and harmony are unique. It is God's new society, and the many-colored fellowship of the church is a reflection of the many-colored wisdom of God. It's as if Jesus is almost like wearing us. It's like Jesus is wearing us, his multicolored church, and Jesus looks beautiful. He looks dazzling. He is glorious. And who is the audience for this Jesus in all this multicolored splendor? Well, it's the authorities and rulers in the heavenly places. In other words, it's angels. Angels look at Jesus. They look at his body, the multicolored church, and they go, wow. Wow. And I wonder what you think about the church. That'll be my question. What do you think about the church? What do you see? What do you feel? So when you look around the room, either now or especially earlier when we had all the children with us and we were singing together, when you look around the room, what do you think about that? Are you amazed like the angels are amazed? Do you see God's wisdom? Do you see something beautiful? Does seeing the church make you go, wow, Jesus is amazing? Maybe you find actually that a challenge. And that's maybe because you're acutely aware of the church's shortcomings or the shortcomings of the people who make up the church. Maybe this is challenging for you because of relational difficulties that you experience firsthand or see around you. Like, I get that. I get it. It could be hard sometimes to see the church the way Jesus sees the church or the way the angels see the church. Yet Paul describes this as wise. Like, what I'm looking at right now is wisdom. So John Stott also helpfully puts it like this. He says, "If it's as if there's a great drama or play being enacted. History is the theatre, the world is the stage, and the church members in every land are the actors. God himself has written the play, and he directs and produces it. Act by act, scene by scene, the story continues to unfold. And when the drama reaches its grand conclusion, everyone is going to look back and they're going to see that it truly was a story written by a truly good and wise God, as revealed in Jesus Christ." Father, help us to see your church like you see it. Help us to see your church like the angels see it. Lord, you have done something remarkable, and it is mind-blowing. The fact that your church is multicolored the way it is, diverse yet unified, it's a beautiful thing. It's frankly a miracle that there is this diversity yet harmony amongst us. It's a miracle. It's wise. I praise you, God, for this incredible thing you've done through Christ. Thank you. Help us to see it and feel about it like you do. Because, Lord, if I confess, it's really hard sometimes. So help us. Amen. Okay, last M, missional people. So we've had two of the M so far. So we have mystery revealed and manifold wisdom. And the third M is missional people. So this is not explicit in the passage. You might not have seen, well, you won't have seen the term missional people said by Paul in Ephesians 3. However, I do think Paul shows us his heart for mission. And I think that actually we are to maybe catch something of that from him as we read this. And so he describes what this mission is when he says from verse 7 to 9 that God has generously given him, Paul, a vision or like a burden to do what? To announce this all-in good news to people from all nations, to help people see and know and receive and respond to and enjoy the truth. The truth that is the vast and deep spiritual blessings that are available in Christ Jesus. That is the mission that Paul has been burdened with, that he's been given to take part in. And he's all in on it. Paul is completely all sold out for this mission. And he lets us in, I think, on why. Again, not necessarily explicitly, but sort of indirectly. So the first reason, I think, is that God calls people to mission. So Paul says, doesn't he, that God has chosen him and he's given him this ministry, this calling to make this stuff known to the world. So Paul's called to mission. And guess what? You and me, we are also called to take part in mission as well. So don't discount yourself. Like, Paul can't discount himself. He says that I am the very least of all of you, yet God has chosen me to take part in this. And that seems like it's mad. Like, what? God's chosen us? Really? But when you think about it, it's kind of beautiful, actually, that he chooses people like you and me and Paul, especially if you know Paul's background. You know, we've been given orders by a king, the king of the universe. How could we say no to him? Like, what greater privilege is there than this, to be wrapped up in this mission that God's on? The second reason is this, what has been made known to us must be made known to others. So truth, right? Truth is something that should be shared. Right? Truth is something that should be shared. It would be wrong to come into knowledge of something and then not to tell others about it. So imagine this with me. Imagine a scientist discovers the cure for cancer. A genuine long-term cure. But then goes, I'm not going to tell anybody, actually. I'm just going to keep this to myself. You'd be outraged. You would be outraged at that decision, because surely when if a cure is found, surely it should be shared with others. Likewise, God has revealed to people like you and me and Paul his plan, his intentions. This mystery has been revealed, this good news gospel, this all-in thing through Jesus has been revealed to us. Therefore, we should tell others about it. We should, surely. It would be wrong not to. And I think Paul reveals this to us with the intention and expectation that we will share it. Paul, I'm sure, thinks that when we read chapter 3 of Ephesians. And then the third reason is this: Christ is too good. He's too good not to make a big noise about. So Christ brings us such an abundance of spiritual riches to people like Paul and you and me that it would be, to say the least, bizarre if we did not tell others about Jesus. Imagine you love donuts. Maybe that's not hard to imagine that you love donuts. And you discover this new but small independent donut shop in town. And you decide, I'm going to go there, check it out. So you go to this donut shop. You walk through the doors. Oh, the smell hits you. It smells amazing. You have a look at their spread and you see, okay, what they got on offer. You go for their signature donut. You think, well, it's the first time I've been here. This is their signature one. I'm going to go for that. So you buy their signature donut and you sit down and you take a big bite. And it is sensational. It is the best donut you've ever tasted. You didn't think donuts could actually taste this good, right? It's that sort of level, all right? And so obviously you take a photo of it, right? You post a picture on Instagram, you tag the shop, you like hashtag best donut ever to all your friends. And then, or like maybe you do a little video and you post on TikTok, okay? And then you go home that day and someone says, oh, what have you been up to today? How's your day been? And you're like, oh, I found the best donut shop in the world, the best donut I've ever eaten. You've got to try it next time you're in town. Go there. It's amazing. That would make sense, I think, right? It may be not that extreme, but it would make sense. It's logical. And I'm not saying that Jesus is a donut, though it sounds like it, but... we have tasted and we have seen that the Lord is good. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We have been made alive together with him, and we are seated with him in heavenly places by the grace of God and the grace of God alone. Why wouldn't we tell the whole world about this? So church, where's our zeal? Where's our passion? Where's the fire for mission? I wonder whether for some of us it's dim. I wonder whether there's a degree of a lack of like ownership when it comes to mission. Maybe for you, this isn't the case. Maybe you're all in for making Jesus known. You're all in. Like, it's not just word and desire. It's actually action. You're doing something about it. But maybe for you, it's more that your vision of mission is too narrow. Maybe you're all in for bringing life to every community, but you kind of really see every community not as every community. Maybe your vision of mission is too narrow. It's maybe very local, but not particularly very global. You see, Paul was an apostle. An apostle is a sent one. And so Paul has been sent by Jesus to start and father churches across the globe. He was called to a global mission, not just a local mission. And do you notice the relationship that Paul has with the church in Ephesus? Do you see it in the passage we just read? So Paul, firstly, is writing a letter to them. So he's communicating with this church. There's clearly a relationship there because of the communication. But also, Paul shares his burdens with them. He tells them that he's in prison. He tells them he's suffering. Again, friends, they share burdens with each other, don't they? Paul is sharing his burdens with this church. And then he's even concerned for them. So if you notice at the end, he expresses a concern for this church. He's shared this news of them and he's expecting that they're going to be discouraged, that they're going to be upset by this news, that they're going to be probably confused, maybe a bit anxious about what's going on, concerned for Paul because he's in prison suffering. And so he says, don't lose heart over what I'm suffering. He tries to comfort them. Again, we see this picture, I think, of this relationship that Paul and this church had. And I think this affection, this love that they had, which is two-way for each other, I think is a model for us to follow. I think there's a call for us here at Life Church to increasingly have a bigger vision of mission, to have a more global vision of mission. And I think there's a call on us to increasingly relate to the global mission as well, to have and enjoy missional relationships and that are beyond our local church, and to, more than that, to invest as well, to invest in the work of God across the UK, across Europe, across the world. And I think there's a really easy win for many of us when it comes to this, because I'm saying this like this is for all of us, not just for some of us, not just for the leaders of the church or particular individuals, but for all of us. And I think there's a really easy win for many of us. So many of you will know Chris. So Chris, one of our elders. And then there's also David and Nicole, who aren't here this week, but they've said that I can mention them today. David and Nicole, they are seeking, and again, with Chris, working with Chris a little bit as well, to spread the good news of Jesus in Northern Italy, and to encourage churches. Chris particularly is there often trying to encourage churches, strengthen churches, and even start churches where there's those opportunities as well. So Devin and Nicole, they have a group in Northern Italy, and that group has like become a church in the last few months. They are wanting to spread the gospel and do global mission work in Italy. And so the easy win is this, just like ask them about it, right? Just like get updates from them now and then. Pray for them. Say, hey, what can I pray for when it comes to the stuff you're doing in Italy? And pray for the work that God's doing. Even if you don't even know what they're doing, pray that God would work in that place, in that part of the world. And then remember also that we are part of a family of churches that are spread across the globe. And that global family is called Commission. And so we may not meet as a sort of global family at a festival like we used to called Commission Festival anymore. But actually, there are many ways still to connect with Commission and to relate to that global mission that's happening, and to get to know people from other churches and to get to know churches and to sort of have an idea of what's going on missionally elsewhere. So easy wins. Go to the website. The Commission website is the place to be, really, when it comes to connecting with Commission, because it will tell you all sorts of things, like events that are happening that you can go to. There'll be, there's like a newsletter or a mailing list that you can sign up to through the website again, and you can just get updates as to what's going on. So I guess what I'm trying to encourage us to do, Life Church, is to be more connected to what God's doing globally. Don't just think locally, okay? Think global. Think bigger when it comes to mission. Father, yeah, please help us with this. Help us not just think, oh, this is a Chris thing or a David and Nicole thing or the Life Church elders thing. This is actually for all of us to relate to what you're doing and to be part of it, to play our part in it. So Lord, help us, I guess, discern with wisdom what that looks like, and increase in us a zeal for this work that you're doing here in Southampton and beyond, and help us play our part. Amen. So, three M's: mystery revealed, manifold wisdom, missional people. But what is a thread that runs through all these things? The thread is Jesus. It's not just a letter, the letter M. It is Jesus himself who runs through all these things. Hear this, the good news for all people is Jesus. He is the hope for the world. He's the creator of the church. He's the one who wisely and miraculously unites people together like us to make the church. He is the why of mission. He's why we do it. Jesus is the substance. He's who we proclaim. And he is the end. It's all for his glory. It's Jesus. I know it sounds cliche and cheesy, but he really is the answer. Jesus really is the answer. So when you're faced with matters of life or eternal life, who do you turn to? When you're faced with the experience of the church and the complex relationships that come within it, who do you turn to? When faced with questions of purpose, who do you turn to? Life Church, turn to Jesus, because he really is the answer. I'm going to pray one more time, and band, if you could come up, that'd be great to get ready to help us respond in a moment. I'm going to pray. Father, yeah, we love you. We trust you. We thank you. Because you really are the one we need. We need you. And so, Jesus, we choose now to look to you in the face of whatever it is that's before us. Whether it is matters of eternal life, whether it is our relationship or feelings about the church or relationships within it, or whether it's to do with mission and purpose, we look to you now because, Jesus, you're the answer. Holy Spirit, help us have faith. Help us lift our eyes to Jesus right now. Lord, and as we sing this song we're about to sing as well, that you would, yeah, continue to do that, Holy Spirit. Continue to help us look at Jesus and trust him and love him. Yeah, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Life Church Southampton. Check out lifesouthampton.org for more.